Happy New Year's, Dementites and Dementoids. This is the Mini PC Show, episode number 39. We got a full group here getting ready to talk about all the great things we got for Christmas and some small computers, too. I am your host tonight, Eric, the manager, Ardini, and I'm here with the cable man, Brian. I'm here with Flying Richard, and I'm here with Door. What's happening, fellas?
What's up? Happy New Year and merry late Christmas. Things so are going great.
How many small Nintendo NES systems do we have at the show tonight? Who all got them?
We all wanted it.
Who got it? Anybody? Nobody?
Now, are you talking about 3D printing a case?
No. Somebody went out and spent $60 and got you the thing.
Oh. Well, I can tell you from my buddy I know who runs, I believe it was the third largest store in his state of this type of game selling stuff. Every week he said he had, I think it was 60 on order. Every week he was getting like two or three. I do know, I think now three or four people that have them, but I am not one of those people.
Nor am I. Okay, so I guess none of us. All right, well, what's
new,
Richard?
I got my son a Nintendo 3DS, if that counts.
You got a new 3DS?
XL? No, I got my son a 3DS.
Oh, okay. XL or regular size?
XL. Got to go big.
Even with the NX coming around the corner, like 2 months away.
Well, the gimmick, here's the reason why it's still a very good purchase. You can still play all of the games throughout its history. And I believe it's backwards compatible with at least one or two previous versions. So the games available to him, he's never going to get through them all, period,
true.
Ever.
Yeah.
That goes all the way back to the DS Lite, I think, doesn't it?
That sounds right, but I am not an expert. I just know you can play a whole lot of games, and no other major company ever even came close to competing with Nintendo on portable gaming. They all tried, except for Microsoft, because, you know, they can't even do desktop computers, right?
But you know. So what did you think of the 3D effect, Brian? Did you check it out a little bit?
Dude, that thing is killer. It really is. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, even just like going through the menu settings, you can do some 3D. And I'm like, how in the world are they doing this? And I really didn't do any reading to figure it out, but it looks magical, you know? Mm-hmm.
My son had the 3DS, the small one, when it first came out. And I haven't looked at it probably a year or two, maybe. But it was impressive, and to get the 3D like that without having to wear any kind of goggles or colored lenses or anything. I'm surprised we haven't seen any other tech with that built into it at all.
No, I agree.
Well, it only works on the small screen form factor. Once you get above a certain width and screen, the technology doesn't work very good, and it really only works for one person watching the screen. TVs, you know, much bigger, and you could have, you know, 20 people watching the screen, so it's really hard to do that effect for that scope.
Sure. I wasn't talking about a 3DS screen 50-inch, but just anything on a laptop or something where, you know, your windows zoom in and out, like Vista-ish.
But the XL screen is pretty large. I don't know the size of it off the top of my head.
Oh, it's smaller than your phone.
It looks pretty decent.
It's a sub 5-inch.
Well, I never played with an Amazon. Didn't the Amazon phone have some kind of 3D effect going?
It had a parallax.
That was it? This parallax?
Yes. No, I wouldn't call it 3D, but it did have a parallaxing thing going. I'll say I'm so happy. CES is right around the corner, literally days away. Supposedly, every major manufacturer is going to just all of a sudden act like 3D never existed.
Are you going to podcast live from their door?
I was honestly considering going this year, but I'll say because of poor planning, I could not go.
All right. I can't go either. When is it? Like 2 weeks from now?
No, I believe it's less than a week and a half from now. I believe it's like January 4th is when it starts or something like that.
That's cool. Well, that'll be fun to watch. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
I know Nintendo will be a big deal with their new gaming system.
Nintendo has the announcement, I believe it's January 20th. And that's one of the reasons why I can't go to Vegas. I already have the money set aside. I'm going to pre-order or reserve or whatever the console and a couple things with it. January 20th is when we're expected to be able to start to do that. And then March, I believe, 28th is when they believe launch.
Very cool.
Wait, you were going to go to Vegas for SEMA? Not SEMA. What is it? I'm getting my stuff confused.
CES?
CES, yes.
I would have liked to, but I'm not. It could have been cool. I'll say that. It could have been cool.
Have you ever been before?
No. I've never been to Vegas.
Yeah, same here.
Neither have I. That's okay, man. Maybe we should plan for next year.
I know, right?
All
I
three
fully agree with you. Yeah.
What could go wrong?
I'll say I am very susceptible to peer pressure with events. All it takes is one or two people to tell me to go, and with enough headway,
okay.
I'll go.
Well, Brian,
I've never been to Vegas either.
Oh,
see,
bitch.
I figured if I went, I would just have to go. So there's like CES, there's SEMA, there's SHOT Show, all of these events I want to go to.
I think the Porn Actors Guild also meets that weekend, if I remember right from listening to other tech broadcasters.
Yes, it does. Right next to it.
How do you know this stuff?
I've listened to a lot of reports live from CES.
Oh, yeah.
Because those two overlap.
He listens to people that think they are news outlets.
Wait a second. There's a specific weekend for that? That doesn't happen all the time in Vegas?
It's more concentrated in one area that day.
Now, for the random trivia, the gimmick is when you go to Vegas, you know you're actually not in Vegas. Vegas is a town next to the town where all the gambling happens.
Oh, really?
You're not in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're in
Where's the pawn shop at? Is that in Vegas or is that in the not Vegas?
I'm going to guess that's probably in Vegas. Because or else he would have in his lobby slot machines for people to play.
Interesting.
Yeah, my sister's been there a couple times. She's been
completely useless trivia part two. In Vegas there are no lines in the street.
To get in places, you mean?
There's no lines on the street. Everywhere else you go in America, there's lines on the side of the road, there's lines
really?
On the middle of the road. There are no lines in the street in Vegas.
And why is that?
Because they're idiots.
I thought you were going to enlighten me.
I know, right?
They only have the reflective things every X number of feet.
Because paint's toxic, and they don't like toxic items in Vegas.
I don't know. I know of no justifiable reason except just because. It is one of the most corrupt cities in the world, so it probably has something to do with that.
I don't know how you could get corrupted by not having lines in the middle of your road.
You know, it would be a shame if something would happen.
So you don't even know if you're on a four-way or a two-way street?
No, you see the reflective little things in the road.
I'm zooming into Street View in Las
Vegas. I could see that. I've seen that in a few places.
Yeah, Washington had that quite a bit, but
I don't know. Do we have any email, Eric? I can't remember.
We had one. No, we didn't. No, I'm sorry. That's for another show.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Well, then we didn't.
Unless we missed one from 51.
Actually, we do have one. Sorry, forgot. Ready. Hitting forward now. Coming to forward. Typing in Eric's email.
Or you're right.
Brian's email. I wouldn't lie to you, dude.
Every 20 feet, there's like four reflectors, and that's it.
Dor wouldn't lie to us about a thing like that, man. Ain't no way.
No, the reason I know that is because the guy who wants to crush Tesla, George Hotz, has his own self-driving mechanism, to which he said nobody else's self-driving mechanism can run in Vegas except for his, because all the other ones are looking
for him. So what was the shakedown at his operation? What's the name of his car company?
Comma AI.
Oh, never mind. It wasn't his. It was the other what is it called? It's named after another famous electrician, and it's not Tesla.
It's not Tesla. The Edison? It's the only other famous.
Yeah, no, not quite that.
I don't know, but I'll say, okay, I did just send you the email. Before we get on the email really quick, Richard has a 3D printed shock mount for his microphone now. This is the stupid kind of example of why I keep telling myself I have to get a 3D printer.
No, that's not a stupid reason.
Not at all. Can you show that again?
Yeah, it's like, I want to say eight different parts, I believe.
That's not bad.
Put together, and then what kind of elastic stuff do you have on it, Richard, holding it together?
No. It's printed in a single piece.
Hmm.
Oh, it is. Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Four rubber bands.
So it's kind of like floating.
Yeah, I got four O-rings from the auto parts store. You get O-rings anywhere. But instead of using a rubber band, O-rings last longer. Rubber bands dry out and break. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Very cool. Very cool. Okay, Eric, do you have the email
It was Faraday
ready?
Future. It was the one I was talking about.
Faraday. Yeah, I never heard of that.
You never heard of him? Okay. All right. No. So this is an email from Vincent H., and he says, I accidentally pressed enter as I was still typing the email and sent it. Please ignore the previous email. So we didn't even read that one. Dor only sent me the full email. Thank you, Dor. I want to share my thoughts on the GPD win. Okay.
Now, really quick, do you remember what this was, Eric?
GPD.
This was this small clamshell, basically 3DS like computer. You pop open the lid, and it had a full keyboard on the bottom half, but it also had game controllers on it. It also had physical switches to turn the fan on, turn the fan off, different modes of the fan, and it had a different button to change the controller to emulate Xbox controllers in it. And it's a very small form factor Windows Intel processor computer that you can basically stick in your pocket.
I do remember that. Yeah, that's cool. All right, well, we'll see how cool it is. It's a bit hard to type on because the keys are small and mushy compared to a mechanical keyboard. I wouldn't use it for typing documents or spreadsheets. At first, I had issues with it when it just arrived. The Windows key wasn't activating. It was crashing after getting too hot or playing it for a while. But after tweaking the BIOS and settings, it worked fine and plays my games decently. My temperatures are 45 to 50 Celsius idle and 60 to 70 Celsius while playing games and the fan on max. But this was after setting the max CPU to 99% so it wouldn't turbo boost. Nice. It's got a turbo button. Here are some cool things that I did with the Win. I took the Win outside, tethered my phone data to it, and was playing a recent MMORPG outside in my hands. Another cool thing I'm trying with it is music production. I'm still learning it as a hobby, but the touchscreen works. All the plugins work in FL Studio. And the keyboard works for pressing notes. I've also set it up as a portable karaoke recording studio with my Blue Yeti mic. It's a great device for this kind of thing. Aside from that, something I want to test is to use the GPD Win as a drone remote controller. The gamepad would work great with that, and the screen for my live feed from the drone camera. The last thing is that the GPD said they're making changes in the next batch, around January, to fix issues. So if you plan on purchasing one, I'd wait until then. Thanks, Vincent.
Huh. Very cool. Thank you very much, Vincent. And I did put a link in the notes to the Indiegogo campaign for the GPD Win on line 328 of our notes. This is the device that I'm going to tell. I have no problem admitting to you guys. I'm semi-infatuated with, and I really came close to pulling the trigger on, and I'm still close to pulling the trigger on. But because right now I haven't seen anybody show me Linux running on it good, I'm not going to buy it. The only other, I don't want to say disappointment, because that really is too hard of a word. The only other thing about the device that I found almost weird was the fact that on a lot of game controllers, your two joysticks, you can also push in. That's usually R3 and L3. They have R3 and L3 as genuine keyboard buttons down towards the lower right-hand side. And that's not a game breaker at all, but that's one of the things I just find a little bit, just a touch weird about it. I love the battery life I'm hearing off of it. It ain't crazy, but it's definitely good. I love the performance I'm hearing about it. It isn't crazy, but it's definitely really solid. And it really just looks like a well-built device. I'll tell you now, the build quality of devices, it's like, okay, I don't care who I insult, if anyone hasn't figured that by now. He mentioned Blue Yeti. There's no worse microphone you can get for YouTubing or for podcasting as a single person than a condensing mic.
No, it's three elements. It has all three elements for whatever you want. I think it's just a knob with some icons. I don't think it does anything.
The knob doesn't do anything. It's a condensing mic. They suck. You need to get dynamic mics where you point to it and then people can hear you. And then when you go off mic, people can't hear you. To isolate yours so you don't hear everything else. And that's just the truth. That's just the way it is.
By the way, I got a Blue Yeti for sale.
But if you're doing if you're doing karaoke, though, it might be right.
No. If you're doing multiple people recording on one mic, then you have to have
condensing. Like an interview.
You have to. Right, exactly. And so there's a time and a place for everything. And that, to me, is one of the truths about life. There is no direct white and black with these things. There's use cases that are more yes, more no. With this thing, I'm going to tell you, I despise the fact that it's Windows because I'm terrified it's going to get infected and that I don't know how to reinstall the OS or something to that. And that's honest. That's the only thing that makes me scared about it. Everything else about it, I am infatuated with. You can literally just put it in your pocket. I also believe it was Type-C charging.
Yes. Type-C is nice.
Yeah, there's no easier way to get on my good side than to have a common charging type that other people follow. So that those two things alone made me really come close to buying it, and I still might buy it before the end of 2017, I will admit, but right now I don't see it being in my cards.
It's so odd that after Mini, Mini USB, Micro USB still had to be put in one certain way, and it was even harder to figure out. I'm amazed by the GPD on how you can have all those switches and controllers for the joystick built into the top of that little thing. And, you know, so the screen's 5 inches. So that means the bezel, you're looking at maybe 7 inches total. And that thing's not really super fat. I'm just amazed how they've crammed all that tech in such a small package there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and the opposite is true as well. They crammed all that tech in there. It's a lot. You take a look at the ports. There's a good amount of ports. Okay, there's actually two R buttons, two L buttons, full gamepad, dual analog sticks, four other buttons, full keyboard, other buttons, Intel processor, less than $400. Yet you still have projects like, I believe it's called Open Pandora, which is one of the ones that I was very bullish about 3 years ago. And they're still like, I believe $800. They're like a ridiculously priced. I'll try to have a link in the note, because it used to be called Open Pandora. Now it's something Dragon, which of course Matthew Williams, rest his soul, was very big on. It's called Dragon Box, only because the word Dragon was in it. I feel like he was bullish about it, but it's still ridiculously priced. Wasn't crazy powerful, but it was definitely a cool device. Right now, everything being the same, I would never buy a Dragon Box. I would buy a GPD Win.
There's a really great review on YouTube at Lon.tv or Lon TV. He does some really good reviews, and he does a really good job with the GPD Win. Just going through all the bells and whistles and how it feels, and like you said, the battery life tour.
If you can make sure we got a link to that in the notes, I'll in the spreadsheet, I'll make sure to get in the notes. I am putting a link also to the Dragon Box. That's dragonbox.de. So it's Denmarkish, whatever it's called. You know, foreign.
Germany.
DE. I don't think Deutschland. GE is German. Is it GE?
Deutschland.
I think you're right. Okay.
No, I know I'm right. So, it's not thing. So what?
Yeah. You might know all about the streets in Vegas. Rich cusses. Rich knows his countries.
Well, the reason I am ignorant towards Germany was because we beat them in war. They should know us. We shouldn't have to know them.
Ooh, there you go.
They also speak English over there.
It's the truth. I feel like since if we beat you in war, it's your responsibility to know and respect us.
Did he say earlier that he doesn't care what you think about what he says about you or your products? I think he said he there was a trigger warning. You're okay. It's okay, Germany.
Yeah, sure.
It's all good.
I need my safe space.
But yeah, I will say this Open Pandora Dragon Box was the original thing that I was really salivating over. I believe even before the Raspberry Pi was out, the Open Pandora was a thing that kept trying to become real, and then it did, but it was too late. Now the Dragon Box is the new one that they're trying to make real, but it's not really happening yet completely, like an on-demand purchase. Because to me, if you can't buy it and have it shipped in the next day or two and receive it in the next week or two, it isn't real. If I have to put money and then wait weeks and months for something to come to me, it might as well not be available to purchase.
It looks like it only plays like 8-bit retro games. Is that true?
It actually plays a full Linux desktop on it, and then you can load emulators on it for all kinds of games. Because of the horsepower on it, I don't think you can get above Ultra Nintendo 64.
Okay.
I think that's the line. And I can tell you, on most of my emulating, on most of my mini PCs, that's really the first test. The first thing I try to run is an N64 game, and it either can't run it at all, or it can, and if it can't run it at all, you know, it's typically a cheaper computer, but it can run everything else fine. NES, Super Nintendo, even some TurboGrafx-16, some Sega Genesis, so even some PlayStation 1 can play just fine. But that Nintendo 64 seems to be the hard one to emulate. And if you take a look at their description, they say it can emulate PlayStation, Amiga, Commodore, SNES, PC, etc. No mention of N64. But it's cool. I think it's really cool. And that was a really good email, Vincent. I just really can tell you, abuse the thing, enjoy the thing, because nobody else is making anything like it again. GPD, I'm pretty sure, sometime in 2017, late 2017, is going to announce another product. They keep butchering this market. They want to own this corner of the market. And so far, I think they're doing pretty good.
Hey, Richard, I'd like to ask you a question. So with the GPD, do you think this would make a good device for flying quadcopters or RC devices?
It could. You know, that depends on a whole bunch of things. It's not that... I haven't really been into flying RC in almost 10 years. And the technology, I kind of dipped my toe back into that arena of tech. As I tried to say improperly, arena of tech. Holy crap, it's just exploded. Mm. It's... Like, whatever I knew is nothing. And so that's a tough one to say, because when you fly real RC as opposed to, you know, something that you pull out of a box that's ready to fly, just needs batteries, they're using, and I'm probably going to name it wrong, spread spectrum technology. So it's not Wi-Fi. They're not flying on Wi-Fi. And typically... The technology that I was using was an FM-based technology, 47 megahertz, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. And pretty much you could fly line of sight and nearly as far as you can see. Mm-hmm. So, Wi-Fi, we know the limitations of that. Based on power and if you have directional antennas, stuff like that, you might be able to do better, boost your range. But...
Yeah, I'll say the one thing that they do, I believe, use Wi-Fi for, because now the higher end ones have basically two antennas. One is for the, spread spectrum is for the controlling of the device, but typically they use a Wi-Fi to do the video back to the device. So I could see using the GPD as a Wi-Fi device to view the camera of the device that you're flying, but for the actual manipulative controls of the device, it's typically that dedicated hardware. And if you remember any hardcore hobbyist RC person back in the day, the big blocky silver chrome controller with all the two main big joysticks on it, and then all the little bells and whistles on it, that's probably what they're still going to be.
Right. I love RC. I really do. I wish I could have the time to get into it, but
I absolutely love the idea of it. But I also know to get the really good stuff, you got to spend
absolutely.
So are there drone racing clubs now that, like, we heard that there were going to be, where you, like, have an abandoned warehouse and you're just doing laps?
I guarantee you, if you go to, like, Meetup, and that's M-E-E-T-U-P, just for the people out there, I can guarantee you if you go to Meetup and you look for drone, quadcopter, drone, FPV, I believe is first-person view clubs, you will find people in your area that meet all the time, and that's all they do is they race and competitively and have fun. Because there are national events right now where you can literally win like $20,000 in first-person view drone racing, quadcopter racing kind of thing. But I'll just put this out there. That's not the only types of racing out there. They also now have, basically, it's just pieces of styrofoam with, on the front middle, one engine. And then you can have two little actuators to basically influence the wings. And then you can have like a little camera on as well that are almost just as popular because they're cheap. So they're everywhere.
I remember Liam's first flying wing. I think it was a Kickstarter. I don't remember what that thing was called. It was like, I don't know. But it was neat. It would sit there and hover, and you could just like hit it with your fist, punch it, and it would jiggle a little bit and self-right itself. And then you could kick it.
Wow.
It was so cool.
I posted in the chat the transmitter that I was using back in the day. It's more than 10-year-old technology.
Yeah, but still, that's what I think of when I think of remotes. The thing looks like you could literally take it to a zombie apocalypse and kill like 20 zombies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's, if right under the antenna, there's a, it says Futaba, and that's a module for extra memory. It's serial EEPROM. Uh-huh. And I soldered together my own boards for additional model memory.
Nice. Yeah. This is the kind of thing, as a kid, I like literally dreamt about, thought it'd be really cool to get into. But I also knew, you know, you got to pay a pretty penny in order to hang.
Yeah, it's pricey. Well,
the best I saw was literally, Rich, and I'm sure you've seen these too. It was literally a model jet passenger plane.
Oh.
The model was like 5 feet, 8 feet long, and literally it sounded like a jet engine.
All right. I got into the model airplane hobby because I wanted to fly micro gas turbines and pulse jets. And then when I first saw my first gas turbine airplane, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Because the guy was trying to start it with a leaf blower, ended up dumping a fire extinguisher through it because he had a, you know, bad start.
Wow.
I thought they arrested some guy a few years ago in a few cities over. He had a large RC jet that he was going to outfit with some weapons and so forth and fly into someplace.
I was at a model airplane swap meet, and this is going back, you know, just post 9/11, and, you know, NYPD that came out on Long Island and were talked to us like, hey, you get any people asking about flying large planes, blah, 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 you contact us. So, yeah, that was a real threat vector that they were considering.
Mm. Oh, I bet.
But a radio like that one, I don't know that I paid this much for, but the ones above it were like $1,000 radio. And anything that flew was easily $400. Like the cheapest airplane on the planet, you had a $400 investment in.
Yeah, that was one of the things I remember about Liam, the guy that Eric mentioned. Liam Tidwell constantly said, you can get up in the air a device for sub $200 easily. But for a good controller, you are going to spend good cash.
Yeah, I got a friend who worked at Walgreens, and he flew model jets. He used to fly this little fighter jet around the busiest intersection in town, just messing with people. Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah. One day he was playing around, and a fighter jet followed his airplane back down because I guess Obama was flying over in Air Force One. He got a little visit. Yeah. So nice. The thing I was talking about, Liam, is it was called the quad shot. It was a few years back. But yeah, Rich, I envy you, man. You were really into that. The only model memory I had was from The Price is Right.
Not sure I understand that reference fully.
That's Eric.
It's just me. Who knows?
Yeah. And I will say, I did talk to my son about his, and I don't think I said it on this show. My two kids and my two nephews, ages 8, 9, 11, and 12, got four sub $20 quadcopter little drone flying toys. Three of them, in under 10 minutes of flying time, were broke, dead, or gone. Mm. There's only one that remained. So I told my son, who both of my kids lost theirs or broke theirs or whatever, was non-functioning. I told my oldest son, I said, look, if you want to do this for real, wait, we'll get a little bit of money together. Because if you go to a real, like, hobby store, quote unquote, and spend around $40 to $50, you can put together your own drone. So when you do break it, you know exactly what part you need to get it fixed, and you know exactly how to put it back on.
Well, you can put together like a tricopter, and this is what I want to do for a long time, is their Hackaday had a tricopter for $99, you know, and they might be skimping a little bit on the prices, but there's, Hobby King is the company, and they make a flight controller board, and the tricopter flies much more agile and dynamically than a quadcopter. And even as an FPV platform, the motion in a turn is a little bit more natural than what a quadcopter would do. So it's a little bit more interesting in a couple of different ways. And I couldn't tell you how many years I wanted to spend the $100, order all the parts, and put it together, and I haven't.
I've had a tricopter and a drone, both of them probably 100-ish area. You know, I had a lot better luck with the quad, and I tell you what, Dor, I beat the crap out of this thing. I've flown it through trees. I've had it stuck in trees. And that's where, you know, that stunt button you were talking about, that can come in handy when it's 40 feet up in the tree. And you just has to do a barrel roll, and it falls down to the ground. I beat the crap out of them. And mine came with extra parts. I've never had to put an extra part that it came with on it yet.
Which one do you have?
I don't know. It was It's been probably 2 or 3 years since I bought it. I don't know if I could. I might be able to go back that far to find it. I'm sure it's not being sold on Amazon anymore, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that was the thing. I do remember. I think you bought it from Amazon. And I will have a link in the notes to the Hackaday Build a Tricopter for under $100, line 345 in our notes.
The Tricopter I had was built, like a pre-built one already, though. So it's probably kind of junky.
Gotcha. Well, I was going to say, I'm a big fan of building yourself only because anything on the device can break. Mm-hmm. And you know where to get it at, kind of thing. And it ties back in. Here is where I keep saying to myself, if I had a 3D printer, you can basically build the entire frame for it.
Or a friend with a 3D printer that actually liked you.
Right.
There you go.
Could actually, you know, I don't want to say customize it, but you don't have to worry about going someplace and buying this part. You can just print it yourself.
But wait, there's more.
If you order today, you can have this for $19.95.
Sorry, my box of printed stuff. So the Orange Pi Zero, what camera am I in front of?
You got there.
Hold on. The Orange Pi Zero base did not have ears on it, so I printed one with ears on it. I went to Tinkercad, which is free online, and made some, you know, screw down ears or mounts, whatever you want to call them, and added it to it.
Very cool.
Dor, where's your Pi case with Han Solo and Kryptonite? Carbonite.
Upstairs. I forgot to bring it down.
And I printed this handy dandy. This is a Banana Pi M3 case, and it's got a sliding, the top and the bottom slide together, and there's actually a detent, so it'll snap and lock.
See, that's gold. See, that to me is really cool. And yeah, Richard sent me a Raspberry Pi 3 case, and it looks like Han Solo in Carbonite on the face of it. It's hard to beat that for a coolness factor. Yeah. So I'm sure I'm going to get into the drone stuff for my kid, because I hate to say it like this. I know my kid is all kids are extremely short attention span for cool stuff. They always want to change up, and that's been going on since the beginning of time. Something tells me, though, my kid would not run away from a drone, I keep calling it a drone, a quadcopter, close to as quick as he would from other things. So I'm pretty sure if I got him into flying a quadcopter, he would be into it for a while.
Yeah, that's cool. As a kid, two things. If I knew anybody had an airplane, or if I knew anybody was flying model airplanes, I would have, you know, killed most of the people in the town just to hang out and do that stuff.
Same here. Cool. Do you guys have anything in the notes that you wanted to bring up?
Hey, can I speak about a death in the family?
Oh,
yeah. Sure, it's Christmas time. Yeah.
It's 2016. It seems like that's the year now everyone says everyone's dying.
Oh, man, yeah. I saw a post. I was trying to pick out all the people who passed. I didn't know most of them, unfortunately. The Dor had sent me an Orange Pi PC, and the Dor, you said when you sent it to me, burn it up.
Yeah.
And I've made comments on the show here that, like, oh, yeah, that thing runs. It's reliable. It's hot, but it's reliable. Well, it's DOA. And I don't know what put it over the edge, but I was very disappointed in it, and I was about to print a case for it, so I'm glad I didn't. But I did order for my 3D printer. The 3D printer didn't run right on a Pi Zero. It said it can with the OctoPrint or OctoPi, and it ran fine with the Pi 3. So I wanted to get something with a little beefier. So from AliExpress, I ordered the Orange Pi Zero, which is a quad core with 512K of RAM. And is it 512 meg? Sorry, 512 meg. I said K. Haven't gotten it yet. It's apparently in San Francisco, and USPS hasn't picked it up or checked in with it or whatever. But it's cleared customs. So I'm hoping to get that thing. And one, I was going to try and run my 3D printer on it. And two, I need something to replace this. This was running Home Automation Assistant, and it was running Observium. So the Observium is a little bit more difficult to install. The Home Automation Assistant, all I got to do is on the SD card is, or micro SD card, is pull off the config file, and my Home Automation Assistant will be running again.
Very cool. And you said the one that you bought that's still in transit was the Orange Pi Zero?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to make sure I have a link to that in the notes. That, to me, looks similar at least, to the form factor of the ones that I bought and gave away at Ohio, the NanoPi Neo.
Yeah, it's square like that.
Yeah, it's definitely close. It looks to be a touch bigger is what I'm going to say. Not much bigger, but a touch bigger, mm-hmm. which is fine by me because this thing got crazy friggin' hot. So more square footage is better as far as I'm concerned. So it's has a quad core A7 processor. I don't see a processor speed on it.
Got to be 1.2 gigahertz.
Yeah, it can't be more than 1.5 something. But the one thing that this one does have, the Orange Pi Zero, is it looks like it has a PoE, power over Ethernet, built in as well, which to me is one of those little niceties that a lot of people aren't striving to do.
It makes a big difference.
A cool way to say PoE, PO.
Yeah, sure. Edgar Allan, power over
Ethernet. I got another one over here. A buddy of mine donated to me two. They're brand new in the box, and he was taking them from, where he worked and donating them to, like, Goodwill, and I'm like, can I have two? And it was an outdoor router, hotspot, and it could do 3G as a backup, blah, blah, blah. It was actually running OpenWRT, with their UI on it. And, it does PoE, which was cool. Now, I started looking up the spec. I believe PoE is 48 volts. So the Orange Pi Zero is supposed to do PoE, but it's turned off by default. You have to turn it on. And I don't believe it's a 48-volt standard because I did see a note saying that somebody had commentary on the PoE and saying it wasn't standard. But I don't care. If you have that little injector, basically it's like a barrel socket, and it's like a Y splitter on your Cat 5 and a barrel socket. So you just plug in on one end, and you have the device on the other. So for me, with the access point, I put an access point in the south-facing wall of the house to give Wi-Fi to my backyard, and I only had to run the Cat 5. So that's cool because it's getting the power over Ethernet. Mm. So PoE, if you're doing something for a number of reasons, you can enjoy it. That's one good use case of why PoE is good.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I've never implemented it anywhere. I'll say I was a fan of both power over Ethernet and Ethernet over power, which are two completely different things.
Right.
And it's always one of those things I always got to say slowly to myself to remind me which one we're talking about. So power over Ethernet means you don't have to have a power cord going to your mini computer and a Ethernet cable. You only have the Ethernet cable and at the same time of giving it networking, it also powers your device. Mm-hmm. On other devices, you would sometimes need to have a daughter board or a second board or a hat board sitting on top of it in order to handle the PoE. So to have that baked into this device, to me, is one of those things that makes it another plus on top of it. And Orange Pi, to me, seems to be one of the few manufacturers consistently, it literally seems like every month to 3 months, has another new device coming out. Which means, of course, the old devices are falling off of support, but they keep pushing forward, and I do like that.
Well, they're, who's the guy, Mick Make? Is that the right guy? He does a lot of really good reviews on single board computers on YouTube. And we've looked at a video together of his. And he hit on the Orange Pi Zero. And there really isn't good support if you go to like Orange Pi. What's the website for Orange Pi?
It looks like orangepi.org.
Yeah, if you go there, they had some links, and it's in Chinese. If you do the Google Translate, I was able to figure out where to click to download the images. There wasn't anything in clear English to download the official images.
Well, it depends on the model.
Yeah.
Some of the models on orangepi.org, you literally just go up to resources, click download, and right there it has all the links. But for some reason, some of the models, man, you got to fight to find them.
And, I don't mean to dominate the show, but there's one other thing. I don't know if I talked about it last week. Did I talk about putting Diet Pi on the Banana Pi M3?
No.
All right. The I was having problems with the Banana Pi M3. I'm running two things on it. One is Plex, and the other is Time Capsule to back up the Macintoshes in the house. And that's not a problem. But the Plex, it would seem if I ran too many things, it would overheat and go DOA. And I'd have to, you know, power cycle it to reset it. And after talking to Door, I realized, I believe it was Debian Mate I was running on it, and it definitely, that seemed to cook it off. I found an unsupported version of DietPi for it. It's not an official DietPi. Works like a champ. Now, the dumb thing was, I wasn't able to compile Netatalk, which is the protocol that I need for AppleTalk or, you know, the Time Capsule. What I was able to do on the micro SD card that I had running the Debian Mate is just copy off the deb files, the .deb files, and basically do a dpackage install, and it ran. So Door was betting me that it wouldn't run, yeah, I'd be missing something, blah, 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 which seemed reasonable to me, but I was kind of running out of options on how to compile and get things running on the DietPi, and that worked. So I was pretty freaking shocked, and it's been very reliable since. So, and the last thing I said that about is dead on my desk here, so I don't know if I want to go much further into it.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting both of them to have different, the deb files not to work just because of
dependencies.
Dependency.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy when I'm wrong, I'll say that. That's really good. I will say, Orange is one of those companies I'm now starting to like a little bit more and a little bit more. I did go take a look at a page that I'm going to make sure is in the note at timewasters-place.com. Great name. There are two versions of Orange devices with 2 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM. They are the Orange Pi Plus 2 and the Orange Pi Plus 2E. Both of them look like good devices. I might end up buying one of them just to test and see how far I can push it. And it does look like at least one of them has built-on eMMC storage, which is one of those other pluses. They both have gigabit Ethernet, too. So I'll make sure the link to the comparison to all the Orange devices are in the show notes as well, because I like that kind of stuff. Very
cool. You know what kind of stuff I like, Dor? I like cheap stuff.
Well, now, is it me, or does mini computing almost go hand-in-hand with
That's why I'm here. Cheap. So okay. can I give a little pro tip on being cheap here? And I tried to put it in the
mind you, you're the only guy wearing the tie on the podcast.
And if you look closely, it's a cheap tie. I'm gonna put it in this chat because I for some reason I can't get it to from my pocket into the spreadsheet. Or I probably could just copy and paste, huh? Anyway. Amazon, for you who have Alexa or Alexa devices, has these. Have I talked about this before on the show? Alexa exclusive deals where you have to order through the Alexa.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've done that.
So this week, if you guys go over there now, do you know those little Amazon Dash button things where you can order things real quick by pressing a button?
99 cents?
99 cents for those. And there's tons of hacks on the internet of the ways you can change them to not do that into something else. So
order an Echo Dot case. Oh, that's a case, not a
so
dot.
So I ordered the Energizer battery Alexa Dash, and it arrived today. And I opened it up and pressed the button to turn red. That's all I've done with it so far. But I'm looking to hopefully.
Now, can anybody order that? I mean, you posted the link. Can I order that?
As long as you have Alexa say, hey, on a device.
I don't.
Do you have a Fire Stick TV?
Yes.
Then
yes.
You're in. All you got to do is go to your Alexa app on your phone, swipe down, and talk to Alexa Fire Stick TV, and say, "Order Alexa, order a Red Bull Dash button," and it'll be $1.
That's freaking cool.
There you go. That is cool.
Can I order Orange Pi PCs?
They change.
Oh, here's one for Viagra. No.
It changed. These deals change all the time. There's more than a couple times I found a really good deal in here. In this one, these are usually $5.
Here's one I want. This is USB charger plug. So it's a wall outlet, the rectangular kind, and it's got two USB charging ports on it. And it's 1623.
It's in here.
Yes. Yeah, it was towards the bottom.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you basically replace your wall outlet internals.
No. Not you, Dor. You hire an electrician.
Is it worth $16 for that, though?
Oh, are you kidding me? That,
yeah, that's cheap. That's,
I've seen them like 2-3 times.
Yeah, well, I've seen them $30.
Why, though. I don't understand why.
Well, to me, as long as it gives enough wattage to do faster charging than the cheap stuff, I'm okay with it.
15 amp USB charger?
I get it.
15 amp across two ports?
See, I've got the power outlets, though, that have the high-end amp outlets on it. I think I'd rather have strips, with, like, I've got one right here with 5 outlets on it. It's actually got 2 plug-ins and 5 USB high-powered outlets on it.
You can get the same thing, but without the actual AC plugs, you can get 4 or 5 that looks like an outlet.
Yeah. Oh,
look what's on sale, too, if you scroll a little bit. The Netgear Nighthawk. That's the one that has all
the
extras on it.
Yay.
No way.
Yeah.
Where is it?
That's the one. That's the...
Look for Garth Brooks. It's by Garth Brooks.
Just north of Garth Brooks. And Taylor. No, I don't know what that says. I can't read it.
Oh, yeah, the Nighthawk.
I believe that's one that had with the...
Does it really? Oh, boy.
Very. Well...
I mean, yes. I've got to have a hacker in my neighborhood, right, to take advantage of those exploits?
So you can get an Amazon Echo Dot case.
It's a case.
For 10 freaking
dollars. Why would you want a case?
Well, maybe they're ugly.
I thought it was a dot. It's not a dot.
It's not a dot.
Woot to...
No, but it's a good idea.
Maybe you want your dot to match the color of your sweater for the day?
Ah, see, now you're thinking like a hipster.
Hey, if you need an Amazon tap, they're on sale on Woot tonight, too. For those listening live, that's one day.
And which one is the Amazon tap?
It's like the Echo, but you have to press the button. It doesn't listen all the time, so smaller. Still sounds good, though.
How much is it?
So it's no.
How much are they?
So it's normally, what, $80? Now it's $53? Looks like.
No, I think it's like $80 now. It's normally 100 or something like that.
Oh, still way too much.
You can get the Amazon Fire TV plus an Amazon Tap, it says.
Yeah, the TV's on sale for $53. The Tap's on sale for
$80.
No, I'm with you.
No, I mean, to me, the whole thing is I got my phone where I can say, okay, Schmoogle.
Wait
and
a second.
It does the stuff.
They have a dash button for Cliff Bars?
They have a dash button for Trojans.
Well, yeah.
Not on sale for 99 cents, I'm sorry. But
Smart Water.
I know. I mean, here's the question, yeah. Eric. You're buying these for 99 cents. You're buying them with the explicit intention of there's something about them you
right.
can have.
Make them do something totally different. I'm not interested in ordering Energizer batteries with it.
So here's how you hack it is what you do, if I recall correctly, so you block Wi-Fi out on it with your router, if your router has that capability. And then you're on your network, somehow you're sniffing the traffic, and that's how you see the button was pressed.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've seen them where they use them as a wireless switch to turn on a nightlight for their kids, and they just glue it to their bed, and they can turn the nightlight on across the room.
Because, honest, what I've been doing, I have two light bulbs, and I'll curse them again, the TCP-connected bulbs, which, have been orphaned. And I have to have my phone, so I have to unlock the phone, find the app, swipe it. It's got a login, refresh, whatever. And then I can turn on the light or off or dim it. It sounded so cool having smart lights, but I don't know how smart that was. But if there's a button to push, then that makes sense.
I'm definitely a fan of this idea, Eric. I'm going to be very interested what you can do with these once you get them. Because it's only 99 cents, and I do agree. Just for 99 cents, free shipping, you have a button that you can get into your house where you can hack to do custom solutions kind of thing.
I might splurge and order two. Oh,
now, yeah, exactly. Don't go crazy, guys. Come on. They're going to be on you. So I did put a link in this chat also to a hackaday.com article, but it's from 2015. So it's kind of old, but there are a lot of, and actually there's a newer one from July of 2016, of different... things they've done with these little dash buttons.
Wait, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy the Charmin one, and I'm going to send it to Joel.
There you go.
Can you replace the batteries?
Yeah.
If the batteries die?
Is it a coin cell?
No, they're AAA, it looks like.
Yeah.
There was a teardown of one that showed, I thought.
Nerf? There's a Nerf dash button?
Yeah, it orders those bullets.
Ordering Nerf bullets?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell you now, with a kid with Nerf stuff, you either are all in or all out. Because after the first time they play with them, they're going to, every time, lose a certain percentage of bullets.
On purpose, too.
I don't know why, but I know. Like, if he starts out with 10, if he reloads it 3 times, he's probably down to 8. Like, they disappear into the ether.
75 dart refill.
Yeah, so a couple of things. You build a silent doorbell, create a remote on-off switch for connected bulbs, build yourself a panic button, log your habits in a shared spreadsheet.
Ooh, there's a Doritos, a Play-Doh, a Goldfish, Coca-Cola. You're telling me that Amazon would deliver Coca-Cola to me? I might get that.
and I haven't set it up because I ordered the Energizer one, and there's only like 3 different battery packs that they would send me if I hit that button. And I guess at some point when you go to set it up, you have to decide what it is you're going to have them send you. Oh no, I guess there's 6. There's 6. 9 volts, which I could see myself ordering 9 volts twice a year. Some rechargeables, lithiums, but actually, I mean, 12 double A's for $9.59 or 24 for $9.79. That's not a bad deal for double A batteries.
Well, 2 quickies. One, everyone really should need 9 volts once in a while just because of smoke alarms. Even if you tie them into your power, typically they have 9 volt battery backups in them. But secondly, I've seen a lot of people complain, and I've even seen Medium postings, which means the hipster elite journalists are complaining about it now, which means it's going to get more traction. People are starting to complain and say, I don't know why I go to Amazon to buy my stuff because it's not saving me any money. When I go shop around, I'm finding stuff for cheaper. Okay.
Sometimes.
One, they might be right, but just because it's going to save you pennies or a small percentage point or even 3 or 5 or 8% of the price, that doesn't mean it's always the best way to go. Number one, I'm not creating 1,500 accounts on 1,500 different websites to order things throughout the next couple of years. I like the fact that I have one account on one service to buy my things via Amazon. And the reason I go to Amazon is not for price. If anybody says they go to Amazon to save money, they're lying through their teeth or they don't know what they're doing. You go to Amazon because of Amazon Prime and you're going to get it quicker. You go to Amazon because it's convenient. Mm-hmm. Convenience trumps price almost every time in the American culture thing. So for people to complain about Amazon not being as cheap as other places, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I have to drive over an hour to get to a Target or a Best Buy or a Home Depot. That Amazon covers all 3 of those stores for me. I don't have to drive anywhere.
So I got the same.
That's a one-way, an hour drive.
So it's Home Depot is probably a 40-minute round trip. And then how much time I spend on the store.
Yeah, same here.
I had a GFCI outlet go bad. I was working 60 to 80 hours a week between a couple of clients. That 40 minutes to an hour I would have lost was worth a big chunk of change. I don't care if Amazon had the GFCI outlet for the same price as I would have paid at Home Depot. And maybe I didn't even pay the tax on it. But that time I would have lost to do that job was more than worth, if they charged me 2-3 times what it cost, it would have absolutely been worth it.
Yeah, if you physically need it right now, I understand people going to stores for
stuff. Sure, and I did that. I have well water here. You know, we're in the redneck part of Palm Beach, Jupiter Farms. And the carbon tank has an automated filter, recharge, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, also it's not branded because then you have to go through whatever dealer installed it and put their label on it. So I find out it's a Clack water valve and I can find it on Amazon. It was like, I think it was $47, $6 shipping and with an indeterminate ETA because it wasn't Prime. I called up my local hardware store. They had it. It was $50. Mm. I went there, walked out with it, put it in and had everything up and running. So without the carbon filter, my water smells like sulfur, you know, smells like rotten eggs. So yeah, the ability to have it that day, is really freaking big, in certain cases. But yeah, I can make the argument either way. But yeah, when you need something, next day or indeterminate amount of days doesn't quite do it.
Yeah, and I'm almost afraid to know how much money Amazon has made in the last 45, 60 days, whatever, for the
sure.
holiday shopping. Because I'm sure it's literally off the frigging charts. But here's my question to you guys, and this is just throwing it out there. Do you see, and I honestly see a day where Amazon's successfulness has to change local municipalities' trash collection kind of thing?
Oh, jeez.
I can honestly see us now starting to have separate cardboard pickups because of the amount of cardboard coming
in. Do you guys separate recycling already? Yeah. Oh, okay. No. We've been doing that for years.
Ready?
Depending on where you are.
Dirty secret about recycling. It's not better. It's not cheaper. It's not any of those things. It actually costs more money to recycle than it is to just produce new material. And here's my proof. I can't recycle unless I pay them money every month to recycle. AKA, they're not making... So if recycling
You're
really was
You're saying people
great,
would steal your garbage.
People would literally steal it and sell it to them because it would make so right. much money. It doesn't. Recycling
does not. You
mean
like when...
Like
copper.
Because I know a couple years
right,
back...
Like copper.
The scrap metal prices were real high, and it didn't matter what you put on the curb the night before garbage. Somebody came and took it, you know, if it was right. metal, if there was any kind of metal in it.
Right. So I don't recycle because I'm not paying extra money, period. I could see, though, the amount of cardboard, because cardboard should be, my logic is, easier to recycle than a lot of other things, because all you got to do is wet it down, mush it back down, bam, you have cardboard.
Okay, I saw the link. Apparently, there's a lot of companies, and Amazon's one of them, that if you put something like a charitable donation, mm-hmm. like whatever you don't yeah. want, in the box, and you can print out a label, and they'll ship it to those organizations. Now, I don't know what they do with the box, but... So there's one of my philosophies on, again, I am not Mr. Greeny, and because all of my cars are at least 300 horsepower. My philosophy is reuse. If you can delay it getting to the landfill by a hop or two, that's good. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like to fix things as opposed to tossing them or reusing them. You know, upcycling is what they call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I buy my PCs at the PC consignment store. I rarely ever get brand new PCs unless it's a mini PC. I love reusing technology.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of work.
I like your idea of giving these stashes as presents to others, Richard. I was looking at these now. They got a Vega one. My parents used to own a Vega, so I could get that for them. And then I've got two teenagers, so there's another one right below called Puracy. I have no idea what it is. But I think teenagers should all have a Puracy button.
Well, it has the word pure in it. It must be good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, Trident button, too. It's in the Reagan's family.
Gotcha. Really quick question for you, Brian. You said you were going to get a certain member of the family a mini PC gift for the
yeah.
holidays. Can I ask, how did that work out? How is it functioning? Because I did find a YouTube mm-hmm. video. Link 349 in our notes to a guy reviewing what it looked like was the exact same mini computer that you were talking about getting.
Okay.
The I can't remember the name of this company.
Azul.
Yeah. Azul.
Ghostbusters.
Little old Zuli.
There is no Dana.
There is no Dana.
With 4 gigs of RAM. The only appears like shortcoming to it was only 32 gigs of internal storage, which 15 of it was basically used by Windows. So from first boot, you only had like 14 gigs of space
right.
to use. But everything else seemed decent about
well, it. Well, it's funny you mention that because when I purchased the PC stick, I purchased about 32 gigs of micro SD storage and 128 gigs of thumb drive storage. So... And I think it was like $10 for the micro SD, and this 128 gig was like $30. You know, after taxes and all that good stuff. So you can actually, with Windows 10, you can set it up to install software on the actual SD storage or the thumb drive storage, which is pretty decent. So yeah, I got the PC stick and the I believe the Byte, which is the desktop model, the small desktop model. Both devices literally fit in the palm of your hand, and they're really beefy. They're really they have a lot of mass to them. Both devices do, so they don't. They're really built with quality. It's not like, you know, something cheap and chintzy that's gonna break apart, you know, if it hits the floor or anything like that.
So what'd you pay for that stick computer?
The stick, I believe, was $140 or $150 after all the taxes and stuff.
And where'd you get it?
And I got it from Amazon. And the Byte was about $160 after taxes. Both devices have the same processor, same amount of memory. The only difference is the form factor. But when I ran both of them, I'm actually running the PC stick right now. I'm watching some videos right now. That it seems really snappy. The internet experience is really pretty snappy. I wouldn't compare it to, you know, a Core i7 on my laptop here, but comparing it to some of the Android TV boxes that I've been using, it seems a little bit better than that. You know, Netflix looks really good. I was able to create a couple of documents, and it didn't bog down on me. The desktop PC was a little bit slower, even though it was the same processor, same memory, but the experience, it felt that it was a little bit slower. So I got to probably look at that a little bit more to figure out what's going on there. But
so there's a USB 3.0 on there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it looks like the stick was around, at least right now, $159. And the quote-unquote desktop version of it, the BYTE, is $170. So it's really not much of a price difference either.
Now you get more ports on the desktop model than you do with the PC stick. But they both do, you know, like I said, pretty much the same thing.
Oh, and it's got Cat 5 on it, too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, the reviewer said he couldn't find anything saying it was gigabit, so he was going to just assume it was 10100. And it's the kind of thing, and then he went on to show us benchmarks of the thing, but he never showed us anything about networking speed or the Wi-Fi speed, because they both, I believe, have built-in Wi-Fi antennas, Wi-Fi stuff built in them. To me, the Wi-Fi, okay, there's ways to benchmark things that tell people nothing about the device. Okay, and that's what he basically did in this video. He told us benchmarks that told us nothing about the device. You need to test things that people are going to use, like sitting at their desktop and trying to stream Netflix. What kind of speeds are you getting over that networking, and is it good enough to use? I wish he would have done that, but he didn't.
It's funny, the Amazon link says, stream Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Not that that means anything.
Well, you know, they didn't say Netflix in 4K. That means nothing.
Right, right.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, these are the kind of devices that I really do think bang versus buck kind of thing. These are really good devices. For less than $200, you're getting a fully quantified computer with full USB 3.0 ports on them. That to me is not common.
So Windows 10, I hate to be like totally anti Windows, but I'd love to put Linux on that.
No, I agree.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll say it's a question of if you can, and really when I say if you can, it's just figuring out what to connect it to. Is there a preferred port on it to connect it to? What button to hit to interrupt the boot sequence?
Right.
Does it support USB booting, or do you have to connect to external DVD or CD drive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? But there's no reason why these could not run a type of Linux. Mm-hmm.
Now, I also got the Mi Box, which is, you know, it's been out for a little while, and we brought it up on the show a few times. I picked it up at Walmart, this does the 4K streaming, and it has the voice action remote control, that's similar to
my UI.
Yeah, yep. And I found that the interface is awesome compared to, like, you know, slapping your Android phone or tablet on an actual box, which it does have its purposes, and I really like those devices in certain situations. But with this Mi Box for the living room, it works great. Streaming YouTube, Hulu, and Netflix, it works great. Now, I tried to download some apps and play some games. It works great. But streaming content that I have over my network, like on a NAS device or on another PC, it was the quality was choppy, it was slow, because there's no Ethernet port on it. I mean, there's USB, and you can use USB to Ethernet, which I didn't try yet. I just used the wireless AC, and I just couldn't understand why the quality was choppy and slow compared to the Azul, both Azul devices that I have. Streaming video content on my network wirelessly works perfect without any issues. So maybe I got to look at the wireless spectrum and see what's going on there with that box.
Well, I'll say in my experience with that is the protocol it's using to stream is of vital importance, and what application you're using to capture the stream is of vital importance. Like I tried downstairs Plex, upstairs Plex on Android, and it ran horrible. It ran literally putrid. I then just on that same computer turned on Samba sharing, Windows sharing. Went upstairs and XBMC said connect file system to like resource, Windows share. Here's the IP address, here's the path. Played the exact same content, it played beautifully. So I'll say don't give up on it yet. Try a different method to send the audio. I'll say really quick, the link will be in the notes, of course, to this in Walmart. $69 seems fair shipping. I believe this was the one that I downed brutally, a little brutally, because it only had 1 gig of RAM. And I'm scared, and that's really it. It's my fear.
Maybe that's part of it.
It's my fear of 1 gig of RAM and not being enough to do stuff, which really does scare me off these kinds of devices. But the inverse then comes back into play. This remote control, something tells me the remote control to the interface is enough of a plus to compensate for any latency that you experience. Because my guess is you really don't experience a lot of latency. Because my phone is Huawei. This is like a sister company as far as anything's concerned. Their Androids are very much alike. And I don't doubt that they optimized this device.
Yeah, they did. They optimized the heck out of it. The same thing when I opened it out of the box. Actually, when I took the box in my hand, they're adding weight to this thing. So when you plug things into it, it doesn't slide off your entertainment center.
The Mi Box, they are?
The Mi Box, yeah. Huh. So it's got some girth to it. It's got some mass to it.
Like the Beats headset?
Yeah. That's like the same thing. But so the UI, like going through the menus, using the voice commands, I was kidding around with my son earlier, just talking to it like I'm talking to you guys with the voice actions, looking for movie content, and it was catching everything. It wasn't missing a beat. The HD home run that I have, it with the cable card, it takes the cable card from my cable company, and it streams cable TV through my Ethernet. It picked that up on through the wireless without any problems. It was only the streaming movies that I found was kind of weird. And it might have been the applications that I was using, like you said before, Dor. So they did optimize the heck out of this thing. And I really enjoyed it a lot.
I don't mean to be Debbie Downer on it, but $69 when Amazon Fire is, what, $39?
I know, right?
Well, and then they got the Fire TV that we were talking about earlier at Woot Tonight for $53. That comes with a voice remote, Ethernet, 2 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, but you're tied into, which it depends on which ecosystem you're going to use. With the Mi Box, you're tied into the Google ecosystem. It doesn't search outside of Google, like for Netflix and things like that.
Yeah, see, I am a Amazon fan. I don't watch a lot of stuff. Like I'm sure I've said on the show many times, I don't watch a lot of stuff. The wife watches a lot of stuff. I'm literally, and she's not a big Amazon watcher. She's a big Netflix watcher, and she does enjoy the XBMC stuff that I have loaded on there too. I'm literally tempted, Brian, to buy this device just so I can reclaim my Odroid C2. You know, so I can have that back as my own again.
Wait, how much was the Odroid C2?
$40 for just the device.
And then you got some controller for it, right?
Yeah, the keyboards that we buy, me and Eric buy, they're like $20.
So you're there.
I know.
You don't have voice remote with that one.
No, and I don't know how much you would even like that, but, you know.
I'm seriously thinking about getting another one of these for my bedroom and take our old cable box out of there and use something like this for my wife, because if she can use it, I think anybody can.
Brian, how many displays do you have in your home? You got a lot of boxes.
Yeah, I have the living room TV. I have.
He's the cable.
I know, right?
Never mind. Yeah,
there's like four in my office. I got one in the kitchen, one in the bedroom. I need to replace the one in the bedroom.
Wait, when you say four displays in your office, are you talking about screens for your computer?
Yeah, I got two screens for I got many screens for my computer. I got two HD TVs, a couple of screens for the PC.
So you have TVs in your office?
Yeah.
I have one TV and seven monitors.
I really, for the most part, consume everything off my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I barely watch TV. I did turn on the TV for about 5 minutes this morning while I was making breakfast. But I don't have a TV in my office or my bedroom. The guest bedroom has a TV. My daughter's bedroom has a TV. My wife's office has a TV, and there's a TV in the living room.
It's kind of funny when I say TV, I don't mean like in the 1980s sense in the word TV. Yeah, it's really just a monitor.
Yeah, when I say TV, it's not hooked up to a cable system at all.
Exactly.
Or an antenna.
Right.
It just means it has an HDMI port where my monitors don't, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I will say I am going to have to buy a TV for myself down here. I'm genuine quote unquote monitor. To put over there on the wall, because when the Nintendo Switch comes out, it's staying down here. It's not.
You can't.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is.
Well, you better add some more chairs down there then, Dora.
Yeah, right?
No, not really.
Dad, can I use it? Come on, Dad.
Yeah.
Now, well, here's
Dad
the plus
of the year.
With the Nintendo Switch. When I'm playing it, I want it on the big screen because I'm blind as a bat. With my oldest son, when he wants to play it, he can pull it out and use it as a handheld.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So
here, just take it out of the dock and get away from me, boys.
Don't get too far, because I want to keep an eye on it.
Now, are there certain games that you're looking forward to, Dor, or are you just getting it because it's something that's new and cool?
Well, I'm partially just getting it because I want... Quick backstory. I despise Sony as a game console company because their primary motive in life, in computing, in business, is not video game. It's everything else. Video game console is one small, very small section of their main industry. Their actual number one money maker, the thing they really care about, is life insurance. And again, don't believe me, go look it up. So I don't like Sony. I'm not going to support a company that doesn't think its primary thing is gaming, period. Because then they can basically discount the device, screw other companies in the industry because they're still making money off their life insurance. I don't like Microsoft because they can't do anything right. They can't do security right. They can't do users right. They can't do their own company right. They constantly lose key important talent. They constantly have security as an afterthought. And their video game console is not the breadwinner of their company, so they don't put all their attention to it. They put just enough attention to it to remain competitive.
I figured out Windows 10 was designed by Linux developers because they asked them, how could we design something that you would hate the most? And then they took notes, and then they did it.
I'm not going to argue that.
Squares.
And then with... And then with Nintendo starting in, I want to say, 1860, they were making games. They were making playing card kind of games. That's all Nintendo is this. This is their lifeblood. This is their pride. This is their Japanese honor coming into play. So I want to support that company because they are in this to win this. They are in this for the long run. They want to shame other companies and point out the fact that they're doing underwhelming stuff. All they're doing right now is arguing over teraflops. And if any good game player knows, teraflops are pointless. You can argue over the numbers all day long. It's how do you enjoy the game? How's the experience of playing the game? Not the teraflops. And I believe Nintendo is going to do that right. But if they don't, I'm still going to throw money at their feet because they've earned my respect throughout the years.
Can I hit on something before I forget it? I've been meaning to bring this up during the show. We had somebody write in last week and ask about NAS devices. Is that correct, Dor?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So, Dor, did you bring up the Odroid XU4?
We did talk about it a little bit last week, and we said it was probably one of the close to optimal devices to use for NAS because you had USB 3.0 on the board and gigabit Ethernet on the board.
Right. And Joe Hecht wrote that he had two and that the throughput, I forget whether it was the Ethernet or the USB, wasn't as good as they claim.
Okay.
So I was kind of jonesing over getting that, and I posted it, and then Joe replied. Actually, I looked up on my feed.
No. Please, Richard, go to your dictionary, look up the definition for anecdotal.
Yeah, but okay? Joe Heck says he's got
person's,
two.
One person's results are just one person's results. They don't mean anything. They're just his results. The only way to know for sure is if you have massive number of people's doing this or you do it yourself. So for all we know, one of the tools in his chain to do this testing wasn't completely compatible with the spec of this. We have no idea. We literally have no idea. I just know on all these mini boards to expect full 6 gig, I believe it is, speeds over USB 3.0 is a pipe dream. And by a pipe dream, I really do mean you're probably high in expecting it because it's not going to happen. I mean, these are less than $100 to devices. The main reason I want USB 3 is because I feel comfortable in saying I can connect multiple drives and get adequate speeds for all the drives running at the same time. And the gigabit Ethernet, realistically, how many people have true gigabit networks in their house? Brian, don't talk. How many people can really expect to transmit data over their local network to every device in gigabit speed?
You mean outside of this room?
Yeah, exactly. So the answer is two, and that is few and not many, because that's just the way life is. So you get gigabit, in my opinion, to like future protect your device for higher speeds. No doubt in my mind, that is still the leading edge of to do your home NAS at an affordable cost. And yeah, I don't believe anyone, just like I don't believe one reviewer on Amazon, mm-hmm. I have to get a lot of reviews in order to believe
Amazon. Yeah.
I honestly don't believe one person's anecdotal results on any single benchmarking test. I use it as a guidepost. I don't ignore it. I just use it as a guidepost. Okay, now let me perk my ears up and see if somebody else complains about these speeds. You know, that each one that complains about it adds more weight to it.
Oh, you know, I want to mention like one or two more things on Amazon. The couple of things I like about Amazon is going back, like, hey, if I like that, I can order it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered from another company. I'm not going to say their name because I'm mad at them, but they have a lot of stuff you can buy online. And for the second time, the power supply for the Mac knockoff power supply for my MacBook Pro died. I left negative commentary, and I bought another one that doesn't look like a Mac power supply clone, that little brick, that little square brick. It looks like any other power supply, and it just stink works. So I ordered another one of those. If you do have a problem with a vendor on Amazon, they usually remedy it to your satisfaction, and that's the other good thing.
Yeah, their customer service is really, really good compared to, I mean, we just gone through the, you know, the Christmas holidays, and I ordered a ton of stuff online, and let me tell you, dealing with Amazon compared to dealing with some of these other folks in customer service, night and day difference.
Well, I'm going to go one step further, because the mail in my neighborhood's been normally bad, but all of a sudden, nothing has ever shown up and said it was delivered on Amazon and wasn't here at the house on the property. Whether they left it somewhere, I had to do a little bug hunt for to find, but I was getting things that said they were delivered, and then all of a sudden they'd show up the next day. And I'm assuming we got a new mail person, and the road that I live on is actually three different disconnected segments. So they probably did their best guess and threw it at somebody's house. So
that's scary.
This number's close.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing the guy found it and dropped it off at my house. So that happened a couple of days in a row, and I made a complaint to Amazon. And Amazon said, oh, we'll refund you, we'll order you a new one, blah, blah, blah. And the next day I called back and I said, hey, I got it. They're like, that's okay, we're still refunding you the money, you keep it. I'm like, but it was like a sub $20 item. I don't remember specifically what it was, but it wasn't, you know, like I got a color TV. So, you know, I got it. I'm going to tell them I got it. You know, I actually got a call back from the post office, my local post office. Amazon must have called the manager at the post office and said, hey, this customer's having a problem. And I never had the problem again.
Wow.
This guy's got millions of people listening to him on a podcast. You got to make us look good, guy. Come on.
Not the case. I'll tell you what it is. I do use Amazon a lot. In, you know, a couple times a week, easy. I'll get something from Amazon. And I'm sure they said, hey, this guy spends X amount a year with us. We're calling the post office.
Yeah, I mean, they're spending X amount a year at the post office getting it to you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, I had a manager call me and then, like, follow-up call me, make sure everything was okay.
Yeah, I've been up in the air since I sold my business on whether I should keep my Prime account because, I mean, the volume. Amazon was my warehouse when I had the shop. I didn't keep a whole lot at the shop except for the things, you know, like power supplies. I always had those on stock. But just like, you know, I always paid for the extra next day.
Wait, what's Amazon Prime cost? Is it $100 a year? What is it now?
Yeah.
I know. It's probably a non-issue. I should just do it, I guess. But now that I don't have the shop, every year this time, and it's up in about a month, every time of the year, I always have this little debate back and forth. Do I? And
oh no, that's a no-brainer. And I've heard news stories. We have a really good local newsman on the radio here, and he does deep research on everything. Mm. And he says with Amazon, you do end up spending more for products. And if you're not a savvy shopper, there are things. But like Dor said, there's crap I want. I know what I want. And I want it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the other thing. There's some unique items for the house that we got, like a glass Lazy Susan that we couldn't find anywhere. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that worked. And I probably saved a stink load of money on finding it somewhere else. And the other thing was we saw a sale on some king-size pillows, and they're fantastic. And they were so good. I'm like, oh, my daughter wanted new pillows. I'll order them from the same company because they were so good.
I don't remember what it was like without Prime. So
Well, I do. And I remember being mad a whole bunch of times because I would go to a place, it said it had a good deal. I would start to go through the purchasing process. It wouldn't let me see the shipping cost until I created an account. Mm-hmm. Then after creating the account, I would get to the last step and find out they want a ridiculous amount for shipping. Then I would cancel the order.
Oh, so it's like me shopping everywhere else.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And that's the real reason why I use Amazon. It's because I can do my search, click Amazon Prime on the left side to filter my results, and now I know there's no other thing. It's like, why in America? Why, if I owned a store, I would not advertise this is $1.99, this is 59 cents, this is $1.49. I would actually display the actual post-tax price. So you know, without a shadow of a doubt, this is the actual cost of the device, not before taxes or before anything else. That's why I like Amazon, because I know when I'm going through the checkout process, what I'm seeing when I click add to cart is the actual final price.
You don't.
And I'll say, I looked on Amazon for that Mi Box Prime. It said usually ships within 2 to 3 months.
Does your state not add tax to Amazon?
Well, it depends on what warehouse it comes from. If it comes from a warehouse out of state, then no.
Ding. Because we are such a business, anti-business state, a.k.a. we are the state that literally...
The state next to you isn't.
We hired... we elected Spiro Agnew, which was our Republican guy before. But then for 25 years, we didn't have a single Republican guy. We are so anti-business. We literally ran companies out of our state because of how we treat businesses.
They went to Delaware. Saying,
they either went to Delaware. There was a major gun company that went down to Tennessee, I believe. They took literally something like $100 million worth of jobs.
Who was that? I know. I remember that.
I know. I can't remember. But we are so anti-business here. So we keep saying we're going to get an Amazon warehouse, but we don't. So every time I order something from Amazon, I see it literally coming in from Jersey, coming in from Virginia, coming in from Pennsylvania. It never starts here. It always comes from out of state. So I never pay taxes. And I'm okay with that because they don't deserve it.
That's good. I'm glad to hear things are tough all over because we're the anti-business state too.
Well, you and me... We're like brothers. We are brothers. We both live in the States with the two most corrupt cities ever known to mankind after Timbuktu.
How many living ex-governors do you have in prison?
None, because they get away with it. Right.
Sounds all like you're describing Gotham City.
We have three in prison currently that are alive.
He lives in Illinois, aka Chi-Town, Chicago, and I'm Baltimore. Baltimore, I try to explain to people, if New York City had the same deaths, had the same murders per capita,
square mile, as whatever, Baltimore,
they would literally have over 20,000 homicides a year. Okay. They don't, which means Baltimore is much more dangerous.
The Onion did a thing on Chicago the other day that after the weekend, the streets and sanitation department was trying to get the plow trucks out because they received 18 inches of bullet casings on all the streets, and they had to get the roads cleared.
Well,
wait
a second. Over Christmas, the Christmas holiday, there were 56 shootings, or was it murders?
I live in Illinois. I don't live in Chicago. I don't even live close. I live by Iowa.
And me, I was born in Baltimore, the age of 4. My parents moved out, and ever since then, I've fought tooth and nail to never go back in city limits, period. The only other link I want to throw out there is another YouTube link, line 349 in the notes, guys. Try not to look directly at the guy in the video, because he is really annoying about it, but there's basically a Star Trek comm badge that we talked about on the show. Is now a quote-unquote real thing. He bought it. He reviewed it. You can basically Bluetooth connect it to a bunch of stuff. You can use it as an IoT thing. You can use it with Google Now. You can use it with Siri. You can use it with Amazon Alexa. I do believe it was like $70 for the comm badge. So if you really feel the need to have one of these comm badges, look at this guy's review. Again, don't look directly at his hair. And he literally went all out and is wearing a Star Trek The Next Generation uniform. So
they look nice. Yes.
Sure. I just know I would like to really have one, but I'm not pulling the trigger just because I can't.
Well, that's Mr. Mobile Michael Fisher. Everybody knows him.
Oh, he's Mr. Really? I thought he was Miss Mobile. I'll take that. Okay. Because really, I just got triggered. He's Mr. You know, I take offense to that.
You don't recognize his pronoun.
I don't like it. They mobile. It mobile.
Yeah, this looks pretty decent.
Z mobile.
It looks, honestly, it looks extremely well built, is what I'll say. That comm badge looks pristine, at least looks. It might feel like crap, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder if it's if it feels like it's made of plastic or cheaply made, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, and I'm not going to find out because I don't have the quote-unquote disposable income for that, because I'm still looking at the Orange Pie Plus 2E and the Orange Pie Plus 2, just because. Was there anything else you guys wanted to
Did you watch this whole video? I mean, with sound and all?
No, because I couldn't stand his hair. He was really annoying, but it looked cool.
I just wondered if it showed how well it functioned, if it was...
I did skim through it, and he did talk about the reliability, the quality of the mic, what it seemed like.
$80 though, huh?
Yeah. I say that, and I'm going to Ruth Chris for my anniversary dinner.
I mean, that's...
Dude, I'll cook for you.
There you go. Go down to Richards.
It'll be better.
And cost a hell of a lot more.
Oh, yeah. It'll be warm out.
Yeah. As long as it's not frigid, I don't care. And as long as it's not 98 degrees, I don't care. Yeah. As long as it's in the middle.
Yeah, Richard, I'd take your weather over any weather. It never gets too hot for me, man.
I think it was 81, 82 today.
Oh, man.
It's warm weather.
Okay, we've been going on for almost 2 hours now, so I think
we can call. Well, hey, thanks everybody for listening to the show. Hey, Dor, do you have any announcements to make? Like program notes?
I like cheese.
New Pod Nuts podcast coming, or information about Pod Nuts? Any big things?
I'm not fired, am I? You're not firing me.
No.
Okay, all right, just checking.
No, just, website, keep getting updates as time goes on, keep getting a little bit better, a little bit fixed. Keep adding more shows here and there whenever time permits.
I've been enjoying some of the new shows, Tor. The MRP podcast is nice. Podnuts is still awesome. I'll tell you what, Jeff Halish is just rocking that. Being a former part-time host on that for a while, he's doing a great job. He's got some great guests. Anybody who fixes computers for a living or on the side needs to be listening to that every week.
AKA anybody who has to suffer with end users in any degree, go there. You will find you're among friends. And there are other people that put up with the same things you do. And you'll find tips and tricks to how to deal with stuff. You know, like liquor, maybe. Oh, wait, no, that's my show. Never mind.
All right. So, hey, Brian or Richard, you guys have anything you want to say to the listeners before we sign off?
I bought flyingrich.com.
You did? Nice. Just now?
No, a couple days ago.
That is cool. Well, I'd like to say thanks for an awesome 2016 year. Thank you for sticking with us and listening to all these great shows. And I look forward to 2017.
Yeah, and really quick, for you people that say this is a good year, this is a bad year, you're both wrong. Because if you were Carrie Fisher's daughter, you would understand. Because one day you lost your mother, next day you lost your grandmother. You people out there complaining about how bad of a year this was, you have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Stop complaining. Get a life. Get a job. Get out of the house. Whatever. Get out of the, whatever. Just stop complaining.
Hey, I'm going to close on my final comments for Mini PC for this year. Is this year was a mixed bag of tricks for me. I went from some very profitable years to a very challenging year. And it's turned around. I don't want to repeat it again.
Testify.
Yeah. I just found out that I'm running unopposed, so I definitely have a job for the next 4 years.
Awesome. Now I've got to work on that raise. Wait a minute. Can't you vote yourself a raise yet?
Yeah, that's right. I have no power. I just watch the guys who do. I don't need it. I don't need no power. They wouldn't trust me with power. They gave me power. I gave it back. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. You know, we're just here to make podcasting great again. See you next week.